don't think we need to make a motion. Oh, we do need to make a motion to seal the minutes because we're...
Don't what?
A motion to seal the minutes, right? We're going to make the announcement in public anyways.
No, you don't need to.
Do we need to seal? Do we?
I don't think so.
I don't think we need to seal the minutes, really.
There's nothing to...
Yeah, we don't need to seal the minutes.
I need to get together with you maybe sometime in the next week. It's not an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, have you seen the ditches they're putting in down on Lower Bay Road?
Huge.
All right, so we're in we're back in public session at 6:15 p.m. and that we discussed a personnel issue. We did not vote to seal the minutes. At this time, I would like to make a motion to vote to accept with regret Aaron Fleury's resignation effective August 16th of 2018 from our highway department.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries. I would like to make a motion to take the recommendation of the highway director and promote Jason Searles to the grader operator position effective August 20th of 2018 and increase him to grade 14, step 1, 1893 an hour. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries. Anything else for us?
I think that was it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys very much.
Just let us know about those other two tree jobs.
I'll call him tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Is Karen out in the lobby?
Next on our agenda is Karen Ober, FTNS Collaborative Update. Three, two, one. Moving on.
She's half here.
Is she gone?
You might want to move to another item, I guess.
Okay, so, well, I guess we'll table that if she comes back and we'll...
I think Mr. Sanborn is here for the Old Town Hall rental application.
Okay.
Yes, please.
All right, so, Mr. Sanborn.
We had been doing candidates night at the library in cooperation with the library, and they did a wonderful job putting it on. A lot of labor and a great way to show off the library. But the library director felt that this year's slate of candidates, being as large as it is, that they might overwhelm the facility. So, well, we're going to need the town hall to house everybody. That we have 13 candidates on the ballot up to U.S. Federal candidates, and I've been able to get a hold of and confirm 11 so far. Tom Tardif doesn't talk to anybody, I guess, nor does Bob Vita. Anyway, I've tried.
So since this isn't like a town election, it's more...
It is.
It is, but it...
It's for Town of Samerton voters, the voter access event for them to talk to the candidates that are going to be on the ballot.
That are representing the town.
State rep, county rep, state senator. I was going to ask if the town would waive the fee, as this isn't for me, it's primarily a service for the voters, and also ask if the town would sponsor it, again, as has happened in the past, as a town event and waive the insurance. If the town does not wish to do so, I have my checkbook in my pocket right here. I can write the check, and I would ask if the selectmen were to choose not to waive the insurance, to make it a provisional acceptance, that I can get an insurance certificate to the town administrator as soon as tomorrow.
So I just don't, I know that things have changed since the last time we had done this, so I just want to be clear that I know that it's a service to the voters, and no problem even the fee to the, use the hall, that's just, but the insurance thing, the whose party is it anyways, the, it is a town service, right? It's not just for Samerton, it is.
Pretty much confining the invitations to people who will be on the ballot in Samerton.
Okay, you're right. Well, and they, it's going to be, they represent, they'll be representing other towns too at some point.
That is
so
true.
That's the only concern I have. That's a gray area for me.
I think the only thing you'll just need to take into consideration is your discussion you're having on later on your agenda about campaigning on town property.
Right. Well, that's the other thing.
And you, because it's a town property, depending on what you decide with your policy, but you might have to open it up to rent it out to other, meet the candidate sites for other
right.
groups.
Right, and that's what I'm concerned about. So I have no problem waiving the fee to use the hall in this aspect because it is somewhat of a public service to Samerton, but the candidates are not just representing this town. It's one of several towns. So I would think that it would need the insurance policy piece of it.
I have a great insurance broker, and I can get
yeah,
insurance.
And only because, you know, if like one of that. The candidates comes back and they want to use it for the same purpose, then we would have to consider these same factors because they would be representing Samerton and other towns and setting precedence by not, by sponsoring as this as a town event and then not sponsoring them, you know what I mean? Like, and we really can't do that anyways if they come individually.
Understood.
And I think someplace we're not supposed to, that would be, we would be endorsing, right? There's something in the statute about endorsing the candidates. That would make, if we voted to allow that to happen, it would be like we are endorsing the candidates that are showing up.
But they're everyone from all sides?
I understand that. But it's, and it's also town property.
Yes.
Because it runs many rails. It's.
Would the selectmen consider a provisional acceptance upon me providing a certificate of insurance?
I don't see why not. I have no problem waiving the fee to use the facility.
Thank you.
You don't need any heat or anything like that, and
well,
whatever.
I think the only thing, I think you've done it in the past, and I think you do it again, is make it perfectly clear that it's a nonpartisan event. And
we've kept it that way. I may have my own personal partisan politics.
I think Katie had a good point in terms of when you start having 11, 12, 15 people, I mean, it goes on for hours and hours, and people
right.
kind of walk away. Well, I think if you focus on those people running for office that are going to represent Samerton in some capacity locally.
They are.
You know, because you got a state representative, county commissioner race, I think.
Yeah.
But there's some offices that are not contested at all.
I don't have any.
Are you the moderator, Andy?
No. I'm getting an out-of-town moderator. Once again, Pat Clark has agreed.
Oh, that's okay. So good.
He does a great job.
Okay, well, we'll trust your judgment. You've done well in the past. With it.
So I will make a motion to approve the rental application for Andy Sanborn to entertain the candidates' night at the Old Town Hall on August 30th from 7 to 9 p.m., and waive the fee for the facility and provisionally accept this application with pending a insurance
certificate
to the town administrator. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining?
I abstain.
Motion carries.
I knew you had to.
Do you want to sign? Yeah. Oh, this one here. Sorry.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. All right. So we have Karen Ober, FT.
What's today's date?
8/8.
8/8.
8/8. FTNS Collaborative Update. Thank Mrs. Ober.
Thank you. I guess I just wanted to touch base because I know that the MOU that had been worked on, I think now has been reviewed by all three governing bodies, attorneys. And those are coming back, and our scheduled meeting is for September 25th, I believe. So I just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page as we move forward to that part of the process.
Okay. In what aspect? What is there?
Well, the moving forward part was now taking the recommendations from all of the legal counsels and combining it together to one document that can then be reviewed by each of the governing bodies. So that means Franklin City Council, Samberton Board of Selectmen, and Tilton Northfield commissioners, fire commissioners. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we're still moving in that direction.
So I think what we had decided was, go ahead, Tom.
We rejected the proposal. The they be, pardon me for my voice. The proposal for, that the three fire chiefs put together, and I asked the town attorneys to look at it three times. I got to tell you, now I told the chief that if I had passed that in as a work product to my boss, maybe hand it back to me.
But that was only a draft.
That was only
a draft to be reviewed.
The chief sat in the back there when he first brought it up, and I asked the question, is it about regionalization? He said, no.
No, it's not about regionalization.
When he sat here, and we discussed it, and said, we're not going to go forward with it, in a very quiet voice, he said, it is about regionalization. And if you look at the statutes, the fire chief has the authority within his department to do the stuff he wants to do, to collaborate, to do training, purchase equipment with other departments.
No, it does not have permission to do that. He does not have permission to do
we
that.
We can purchase, if Tilton Northfield is going to buy a fire truck, and we want to buy a fire truck, and we buy it from the same company, we can get a good price on each one.
Right, those are intergovernmental agencies.
But we're talking about pagers, and we're talking about air packs, which you would not approve paying the city of Franklin money to buy our stuff. You would want to be dealing with the company yourself. So that's what this really was all about. I mean, this is a year old, Tom. I know that you weren't on the board when this was discussed and approved that we would move forward with this kind of an agreement. And the reason for that was that should any of the parties involved, including elected officials, including hired fire chiefs, any of them decide, I don't want to be a part of this anymore just because I don't want to do it, there would be nothing there that would stop that from happening. Now with some kind of an agreement, when they hire a new chief to come in, it would be in their job description that they would then realize that they need to be a part of this regional activity that's going on, and that you know, that they would be not mandated necessarily, because at any point anybody can pull out of it if they don't see fit. And we agreed at a board meeting a year ago that yes, we wanted to move forward, we wanted to see what kinds of things could be done, and everybody felt that it was important to have the MOU to guide them through. We sat here as a board and agreed unanimously that we wanted to move forward with the MOU, and now I was hearing that maybe you didn't want to, and I didn't understand why. So
that's part of the reason. The other thing is that just as one town meeting cannot bind another town meeting, one previous Board of Selectmen can't bind a future Board of Selectmen in terms of...
I think it was the way it was written.
I'm not in favor of it. I think we have our fire department. If they want to work with other departments, they have. They've done that.
Okay, so when I go back to this meeting on the 25th, I should say, we do not want to be a part of this collaborative agreement. We're backing out. Tilton, Northfield, and Franklin, do whatever you want.
That's my viewpoint.
Well, okay. We've already told Chief Dexter when he came to us with it, it was the content of the MOU, Karen.
Okay, so how do you want to see it changed different? Because that's what I need to be prepared to represent when I go to that meeting.
So it was the consensus the night that the chief was here, the way that he was presenting it, it's my opinion that it was a document, and I personally, I'm not going to speak for them, when I read it, Karen, so you know I'm like the contract minded person, not the Nazi, because I can't say that anymore, but Samerton is in, you're talking three different towns, you're crossing a county line, okay, and so you're talking three different forms of government, you're talking, you know, the selectmen are elected officials, they come and go, and the fire chiefs under the statute have authority to do most of the stuff that was written in the MOUs, and so unless it's an intergovernmental agreement, which is the new buzzword for these sorts of things, what was in that MOU, we felt that night the way that it was presented was already under the authority of every fire chief under the statute is 154 and 4, whatever that, okay. I believe that. So it was the way that was written, Karen.
Okay. So I had given Katie a lot of information that I had found in my cleaning out process. And in one whole section of that, and I don't know if you ever saw it or found it, but it was all about intergovernmental agreements.
Yes.
And how those should be written up. And my understanding was because Franklin had used this with another municipality, it was a great starting point. And that's where we felt that we needed to put in our individual requests for what we saw that we wanted to continue
right.
and to happen. And then to move forward with that. So I guess what I'm hearing is it needs to change from an MOU to a municipal, intergovernmental.
Right. Yeah. This, you're working with three different forms of government.
Right.
We have a board of selectmen and a fire chief. You have a fire commission and two boards of selectmen, and then you have city council and a fire chief.
No, the Tilton Northfield is only dealing with the commissioners.
Right.
The towns don't get involved in it at all.
Right. So they just got the commission. And
right.
So you got, you know, at the commission level, not at the local kind of level,
right.
The next level down, which is awful to say for the select board. But we're a select board and we have a fire chief. And the fire chiefs all run under the same statute. So what was in the agreement was what they are already under the authority to do in their
okay.
job. So it was kind of a moot point. And it was, I felt pretty lax in writing. So it didn't really hold anyone's feet to the fire. It was just this piece of paperwork of if someone left and someone came in, they were responsible. And I also think that, I mean, I know why they want to do it because he had called me and went over and had a conversation about it. And I don't agree with the reason that they want to put it in place, personally. I'm not speaking for Tom and John. I think that if they wanted to do with the purchasing power and stuff like that, you can do that with the intergovernmental contracts because that's the new, you know, buzzword in the whole municipal piece of it all to do the, you know, purchasing within the towns and get the best price, whatever. I didn't agree with the language in the MOU.
Okay.
It was very badly written, Karen.
Okay.
And actually, it was like it said the same thing over and over again in different. Using different vocabulary words. And it kind of twisted itself around. And actually, we had the attorney look at it, and I think the red line version was kind of more red line than it was black and white. So,
I haven't seen a copy of that.
Yeah,
so I don't know what that was.
That was my take on it that night, and Tom looked at it too, and the way that it was explained to us that evening, correct me if I'm wrong, John, the way that it was presented that evening to us was that it was about regionalization, but it wasn't about regionalization, but this is going to lock us into something that will become regionalization. And so I don't want to start a ball rolling that we can't stop either.
Okay.
I think we need an agreement, something like the MOU. Between the towns to agree. I mean, maybe the MOU is not the way to go with the, but we need some sort of an agreement, whether it's a contract or what we call it is semantics, but it needs to be a formalized.
It's actually
document.
Not semantics, because if it's an MOU,
well,
that's different than an intergovernmental contract.
Yeah, I know, but it's still an agreement of some sort. And I think that's what we need to come up with.
Well, I think having something in place before you decide that you're going to do something like buy two fire trucks at the same time needs to be in place so that when that time comes that you need to do that, you don't have to start at this level and recreate that agreement. You know what I mean?
Right. So like, I think if you read the MOU and the red line copy from the lawyer and then read the intergovernmental contract purpose, I think outside the scope of the fire chief's jobs, they can do that MOU piece. Woo. How you doing? And I also think
should be kicking on soon.
And I also think that if there was the buying power that they're looking for,
yeah,
for future, you know, purchases and stuff like that, which I totally agree with,
yeah,
would be an intergovernmental contract.
Okay. All right.
So if there's any other questions, you know, but it was explained to the chief, and then, like I said, he had some conversation after the fact with myself and I think Tom as the liaison, that it was just something that the lawyer had said that they already have that authority. So
okay.
Does that make sense, Karen?
Yes. Yep.
It's not that we're like totally against it. It's just that MOU is kind of a binding moot point, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I wanted, because I just was thinking, okay, I'm going to this meeting, and how do I represent the town of Samberton at that meeting as we go forward? So.
Yeah, no, I think that it's already under the umbrella of the fire department in every town to do those things that they're looking to do in the MOU. I understand the purpose of what they're trying to do, but I think that it's a moot point.
Wow.
And I think if they have that new hire that comes in that they're all worried about and he doesn't agree, it's a moot point to have the MOU anyways to go through this whole process.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. That's all I needed. Thanks a lot.
You look good, Karen.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
Okay, so moving on, we got FY20 town compensation.
So, generally you have your budget deadlines for department heads at the end of September, and your next meeting's the end of August, and in order to give direction in drafting budgets, you'll need to discuss and come up with a plan for the next phase of your compensation initiative and what you'll be directing department heads to put forth in their budget requests. In your packet, there's some information. And Tom, I also set out for you the study that was conducted.
Yeah, that's not what we want. That's for your information. That's the Thornton study.
Just for.
That's for you.
Yes.
Separate.
Yeah. So that's a study that was done that showed us that we're under market value.
Right.
That's not what we did to build the pay matrix.
That's to show you basically how far off we are from the market value and to give you some numbers to show that analysis. But in your packet you have the matrix, the compensation spreadsheet for what was in FY18 and then what's budgeted for the current fiscal year to get staff onto the matrix. But that was basically the intent, was to get on the matrix, not to start addressing the gap with the market. Then there's the explanation on the differences between COLAs, pay grades, pay raises. Yep, those definitions. The town's compensation philosophy that the board adopted last year. The report from the workshop that was held with the department heads that had some feedback on once we had received the final report, you guys had a workshop about kind of where do we go from here. And I don't know if you want to do some more information.
So no, so this is what she went through is the pay matrix that was developed from the pay matrix study committee and handed over as a recommendation to the select board.
Which we implemented.
Which we implemented. Instead of that over there. So
this is complete.
That's what we have. This is the updated spreadsheet that Katie put together with all of the current salaries on it. As of FY19, Katie.
So this is what was the salary in FY18 and what was budgeted for FY19.
Okay, so see, Tom, so this is what we had for FY18, and then this is what we budgeted for these same positions for FY19, because we talk about positions now, not personnel in the job. Okay? Then all of this stuff here came out of the pay matrix study committee. Okay. This was the town compensation philosophy that we adopted as the select board when this all started. And then in addition to that, we had a workshop with the department heads that Katie facilitated to go through the process. So it's just information for you to look through. And that report over there was what came from the Thornton study that we didn't
This
adopt.
Is what's on the top of it.
You got yes. it.
What is helpful with that is that gives you some figures on how much it would cost to get up to the market rate.
Yeah.
It shows you what the market
This is the document we are working with.
Yes.
Not
Yes, that just shows yes, how below correct. Market value is, but this is what we're doing here, yes.
So that will help you if you need to figure out how much you would need to match the other towns in the region.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So we're going to look at this and put this back on the agenda for the next meeting so that we can give the department heads direction by September 1st.
Yep. Yes.
Usually we give it by September 1st, right?
We try to because your deadline is usually the end of the month. I'd recommend actually at your next meeting having a discussion about establishing your budget deadlines and your goals for the budget, you
okay.
know, if you want a level fund. Also, one thing you need to start thinking about is appointing CIP members for the CIP committee.
Okay, so if we put that FY20 budget discussions and appointments, decisions and appointments on the next schedule, that would work.
Okay. And as a reminder, the initial discussions that you had about kind of your short-term and your long-term plan was that the board was intending to, for the short-term, get all the positions on the matrix, so assign everybody to a grade and step, mm-hmm. get on the matrix, and then at future town meetings, look at then trying to increase to match a percentile of the market. So I think the 25th percentile was the first discussion about a goal, because to get up to par would be, I think, at least $100,000. So to kind of gradually implement it so it's not going to be hitting the voters drastically, that was a discussion. And some other things to consider are, would you put this in the budget with the salaries like you did last year? Would you create a warrant article with either separate funding or create a merit pool?
We were warned not to put the raises in a separate warrant article.
It'll be in the operating budget.
Yeah, it'd just be in the operating budget if they want.
But I just want to suggest, I think you guys worked really hard on this stuff and did a good job with it. Just want to mention that if it's okay, when we discuss the pay for next year, I think John had a suggestion which has merit to at least talk about giving
right.
some type of COLA or cost of living increase to town employees.
Right, so
is that something we can at least talk about as an item?
As part of the discussion for moving forward. So the recommendation for a COLA would be everybody stays at their current step and gets the matrix gets the COLA.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Matrix gets a shift.
Matrix gets a shift. So what I had talked to Katie about, because when the pay matrix study went through this, they warned, remember, John, they warned not to give too many colas because then you're going to, A, fall behind, way behind again, and you can only give so many before it skews the whole matrix again, and you got to be back to the whole, well, you can get, I mean, you give it one, but make a note, right? That the following year it would be a step, and then, you can go back and forth. As long as you don't continue to give a cola, it does shift the whole matrix, which is not a bad thing. Everyone stays at the current step. But we need to make a note someplace of how that is done, because when we're off the board, we want to make sure that this keeps moving forward. Never to put the town backwards.
Right. Well, you may not want to give a cola every year.
Well, right. Skip. You can only give a cola so many times before it'll skew the matrix again.
I think what's important is that we really look at investing in town employees. Mm-hmm. On trying to, value them, give them a little bit of pay if we can, make an investment in people. And I think that's important. There's been four or five years when they got
longer than that, right. And they tried, and then it was taken out of town meeting,
But I think what's important is investing in town employees. I just want to say that, Karen and the fire chief, they really, support that department. They really advocate strongly for it. We've been very good about funding the fire department. But you need to also look at other areas of town government that have needs as well, where maybe the department head or employees are not as articulate. So I think that's important to balance things out.
Did you have a consideration, because you had mentioned it, John, at the last meeting, did you have a consideration for a cola? Like, was there a percentage, or were you waiting to?
I didn't have a figure. I just wanted us to have a discussion about it.
Okay.
That's why I brought it up, because it's one way of shifting everybody at the same time, and trying to keep up with the market.
Yeah, because not everybody got a step. Everybody could. Some people got grades and steps. So if we did next year's funding at FY20 at a cola, it's still moving the town forward. And, a snail's pace, but it's how Samaritan has functioned. But it's something and not nothing.
Yeah, I know it works for other federal organizations to help keep the workforce in up with the current market that's going on, and this was just one way of doing it for everybody. We have people who have gotten steps and raises, and some people who haven't. So some people are going to look at this and say, well, this is unfair because they're getting two raises and I'm only getting one. They got one last year where they got a step increase, or they got a grade and step increase, but I didn't get one. And that was to get them onto the matrix.
But so some of them, even getting them onto the matrix, John, everybody gets something. So if we were to look at a cola next year, that's not a bad thing. So we could do the higher rather than the lower, like do a 2.5 instead of the 1.5. Mm-hmm. Because when we were presented with, I can't remember how, when or whatever, when they did the 1.5 or whatever, it was just, it's just going to keep getting harder to catch up. So if we did like a 2.5 cola
this year,
and then FY21, look at everybody moving up a step.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to keep moving the town forward.
Mm-hmm.
I would just recommend that while the board did not adopt the Thornton study, that it does provide helpful figures in terms of what the market is, and it might help you with some goals about, is there a percentile, a percentage of a percentile that we're shooting for by a certain year, and how much do we fund to get to that date, just so you're not having to start working with, so you have strategic numbers basically that you're working on. It, you know, even if you did a COLA, that would show you how close you're getting to the market while that report is still valid. I mean, every year that it passes, that data is going to get older and older, and people are going to be
right. And that data was already old when they did the study.
But it might be good to utilize. I mean, the town paid for the study, might as well get what we can out of it and utilize that to help you set your goals with some hard figures to move forward with that.
All right,
regardless of the mechanism, but I think it's a good place to start. And I guess the other question is, does the board want to have all the discussions at this table, or do you want to do some sort of joint discussion with the department heads before you set your determination for this budget to get their feedback and input?
I think I prefer to take a look at this and then come back to the table and have a discussion as a board.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, I agree.
And then put it out to the department heads for their
and
comments.
I mean, I don't know that we have to have a meeting with them, because we're going to meet with them individually when they come to present the budget to us. So at least if we're having that discussion and then we're on the same page.
I agree. We should discuss that.
We'll discuss it and then give the directive.
The decision to go with the COLA and the amount has to come from this board.
Exactly. So give the directive, and then when they come to us, as always asked, bring us your figures and give us your justification as to why, and then the discussion can be had then.
I agree.
Instead of making two meetings out of it and
belaboring
it. So, all right, let me just put this in here. All right. I do my. Any other discussion on town compensation at this time? We'll put it on the next agenda. Okay, we're on to campaigning on town property discussion.
Okay, so.
I can make this a short discussion if you want, because I know the problem stems from me. At the joint meeting, I had a couple of people who were going to take my brochure and take it home and read it and give me some comments on it. And I got a little bit carried away afterwards and wound up giving my brochure to more than just those two people. So I am guilty of violating this policy, and I will admit to it.
Well, so this has raised some questions about how the town handles campaigning on town property. As it stands, you have a policy regarding interfering with town business on town property, where in this case, the meeting had adjourned, there wasn't regular business going on. So I don't know if it necessarily fall under this policy completely, since it wasn't the business.
No, but this does include that. And the only thing I would like to add is that we don't allow them on the town property at the transfer station. We wouldn't allow them in the town office here, so we shouldn't allow it, just like we did tonight with the separating the town and the electioneering, politicking kind of piece of it.
Right. So I did some research on this, and it's at the discretion of the board on how the town approaches this. However, no matter what the board decides, it has to be consistent. If you allow one group to do something, then you have to allow everybody under First Amendment rights. So some things to take into consideration are, in the past, this board has allowed, and previous boards has allowed, candidates to come to selectmen's meetings and address the board and speak with them. You have the campaigning outside of the transfer station on the road there, so it's not within the bounds, but it's there. You can also restrict signage on town property, which I don't think this addresses, so that's another thing that you might want to think about.
No, it doesn't.
There is some place that you can't put it on town property. Right? Yeah, you'd know that. Your signs were moved a million times.
John, I don't think you violated the policy. Going back to when I was a selectman, the same issue came up, and I know the selectman at that time kind of made the same decision. What we didn't want was people walking into the town office on a highway garage and disrupting the employee's workday by campaigning. And somebody coming to your office through the door and campaigning. That's what we were trying to discourage.
Right, and what this policy was created for was...
In the buildings.
Right,
that.
Well, that's what was happening. That's why we created this, because they were down at the transfer station. In
outside the station.
They were in the transfer station, right. And they were bothering everyone doing their business about trash and our employees, so it was holding up the business, and it created a ruckus, and we get some...
Or somebody coming down to the transfer station and wanting to do what I did and hand out cards or things like that and disrupt
Or going up to the library during the day and walking in and interrupting the town business or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I could never understand why there were certain people that were invited to a selectman's meeting that were running for candidates or people that didn't come, and it kind of looked odd to me, but... I guess if they want to get on the agenda, they have to go through Katie anyways, but...
And I can tell you that this will not happen again in any way, shape, or form. There will be no campaigning other than...
So, am I hearing that you're interpreting in your policy town business operations to include meetings and activities associated with that? So, as people are leaving meetings... Because if it comes again, you'll need to have...
It's town business on town property, and it does state in here. I mean, it says during... This would probably need to be revised. This was made immediately because of what was going on at the town. It was a disaster at the time going on at the transfer station. It was so backed up, and there was so many complaints. So this would probably need to be somewhat revised, Katie. Even though it says policy regarding interfering with town business on town property, it should say and town property, and then we should add in there someplace the language of that.
Okay, now I have a question, because as a selectman, I go to the transfer station every Friday to take my stuff there. I, as a selectman, will talk to people there at the transfer station and ask them how they like the transfer station. What do you think of the people that are doing it? Do you think they're doing a good job? Do you have any suggestions? So, but this is not politicking. Am I violating the rule by doing that?
No.
Well, is it impeding with the business operations at the transfer station? Are people blocking people?
I'm not blocking people. We may stand off to the side and talk.
It says these in any form will be considered disruptive to the operation of town business and affairs. So as long as there are now signage down there, so as long as you're not interrupting the flow of traffic, the flow of business, the productivity of our employees, and because the complaints we were getting was that, you know, the town employees were being affecting them. It's a waste of public funds. That's tax dollars that's being spent, and you're blocking the flow of traffic and whatever. There was a million complaints that came in.
Yeah, the only time I
John,
I do something with it.
I think you're perfectly fine. I don't see
The only time I may block or may interfere with an employee doing something is when he wants to give my dog a bone, a cookie. So that's the only thing that...
So maybe we could take a look at this, Katie, and just instead of on, if we'd add and then just someplace in the language we'll add the just the town property. So it's consistent.
I'm sorry, what was the change?
So it says policy regarding interfering with town business on town property. It should be town business and town property. So that it's more clear, and then add some language in like that third sentence there, whatever, to include something.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then we can revote it at the next meeting and amend it on the bottom. And I think that we, as these are all working policies and documents, have amended this already twice.
Well, that's just reasonable.
Yeah, it is reasonable. And I think if we just add and instead of on town property, that's and town property, so that it's consistent for everybody, so that everybody's clear. Because there's still a question of, if I'm not interfering with town business, can I do it on town property? The answer is no. So if we want to...
Yeah.
I can work with you to revise that if you want.
I would also put something in there that it's at any time. There aren't just specific times. Make sure that it says in there at any time.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to candidates that come to your meetings, the way that works is they request an appointment. So in the future, if an appointment is requested, do you want to continue with that practice, or do you want to not move forward that in the future?
Well, I just, like I said, I never understood why they were coming here if they're...
Well, it was like Brian.
I get that, and I'm trying
to... He came to introduce himself to the board. And
right.
I mean, I don't know if he was in hopes of getting 3 votes or
right.
4 votes, but...
Well, right, so I think that, and prior boards from sitting in that seat, I do remember that it was a requested letter. And if the board had any questions for that person, they went to the town administrator and asked them, or if there was someone in the audience that had a question, they would give them the contact information. But it was a request of a letter to the board, and it was a correspondence instead of an appointment.
An appointment.
That's, so there was a while that there was a letter that was coming through correspondence rather than an appointment with the board for a few of the boards that we had here. I do remember that sitting over there.
So would this board like to move back to that practice where instead, if they request an appointment, just instead provide correspondence to the board?
Yeah, I don't see why we can't have correspondence from the candidates. I just don't think that we should be wasting our business meeting listening to a candidate spiel when they're going to have this candidate's night, and there's other opportunities for these candidates to have different venues and have coffees and whatnot to explain their points of view. They're explaining to 3 people here, and I don't understand. I never understood that part of it. I understood the correspondence piece of it. I just think that's a better practice.
You've got a time period during Old Home Day when the candidates can.
Yeah, they march in the parade. There's all kinds of opportunities
to
campaign.
They have a place down at the Courier Building where they can
I take it as campaigning.
Yeah.
So when they come and give the spiel here or whatever, I don't want to be asking as a voter. There's people that aren't in the room that would like to ask questions or not. And I just find it to be an isolated instance where it should be a correspondence that's reviewed. And if there's a correspondence that like comes in my mailbox to all the voters, I think that it's more fair.
And then, so that would be when they're seeking election, if somebody is recently elected and they want to introduce themselves to the board, that would be different.
That's
because
different.
Because they're already seated in the role and... they're establishing
and
a relationship with you.
Exactly, and they're like the liaison to that position.
Because like as Tim Lang did after he got elected, he came into the board and talked to the board and wanted to know what could he do for the board.
Was there any specific concerns from the board at the time for the town of Samarinton to take back to Concord, which I totally agree with. Ian Raymond did it. There was a couple of candidates did it.
Yeah, because they're supposed to be representing the people.
Right. Once they're elected to that position, I have no issue with them coming in to work with us to work represent us in Concord.
Yep.
That's better. Okay. That better practice. Okay, moving on. Other business. Follow-up discussion regarding public hearing from July 25th to close the Classics portion of Mountain Road and Wadley Roads.
So at your last meeting, you had the public hearing, and there were some follow-up questions in regards to the status of the road. So you'll see in your packet, it outlays the history of Mountain Road and Wadley. And I think the confusion lies where the wording to convert a road to a Class 6 uses the word discontinue in it. You say discontinue subject to gates and bars to make Class 6. And so I think that's where the confusion lied about maybe some residents thinking that it had been discontinued in the past or maybe. But essentially with Mountain Road, for example, the older section was discontinued and the new section was built when I-93 went in. And then the new section was voted to be, the old section was Class 6. And then the new section after an I-93 was built was converted to Class 6. And then also 1995 addresses where the town maintains, because we have the Class 5 portion of the town does still maintain. But beyond that, it is Class 6. So it is a Class 6 road, and so is Wadley. And your packet is a fact sheet that provides some of that information to kind of explain the differences between the wording that's used to discontinue a road or make it Class 6. And the different liabilities that come along with that. The back of it is just what the gentleman at the hearing had provided, that the town clerks had provided in the past, but that was also before the 1995 vote as well, so some other things had happened since he had obtained that information. But again, the hearing was for restricting ATV traffic and dirt bikes on those particular roads, and the board is it to have a discussion.
So the bottom line is it is a Class 6 road. It has not been discontinued. The updated version of that is the most current one is 1995?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that is in reference to the new subdivision on New
right.
Road, the 1 mile.
I forget that guy's name.
Right?
Yeah. I forget what the name of that, and then he moved or something. Seems to have a vote to maintain New Plant Road beginning at Hale Road.
Is this something you were interested in?
That was the 11th of March, 1987.
Now, was this and the previous
one? That this was voted on.
Right.
You want a copy of the book?
So this was accepted. See the town
was
maintained.
It was voted in the affirmative by at town meeting.
So is the road named Mountain Road or is it New Mountain Road?
It's Mountain Road.
Right.
Because it was old and new, and then
so it needs to be New Mountain Road because they voted on New Mountain Road and not Mountain Road. The name of the road is not Mountain Road. The name of the road is New Mountain Road because that's what's in the warrant article. So we might want to notify E911. They'll be happy.
So then there's actually two roads there.
Well,
a New Mountain Road and an Old Mountain Road.
Well, right.
On the tax maps, it's all just Mountain Road continuous. I'm not sure if there was a vote
new is
at a selectman's meeting, you know, later on specifying that with E911.
I don't know. We would have to go back to the first E911, which would have been right after this. Would have been right after this, and if they determined that that was New Mountain Road, and they just left it Mountain Road, but it's the name of that road should be New Mountain Road because that's what's on the warrant. That's what the people voted. That's voter intent.
I think part of the delineation was also that the difference in classes on the two sections. So maybe once they all became the same class, it became Mountain
Road. Well, actually, right, John, it's. So there is New Mountain Road and there's Old Mountain Road.
Yeah,
so it's actually now two roads.
See, based on 11 March 87, Article 8 was to see if the town will vote to discontinue subject to the gates and bars and make Class 6 New Mountain Road beginning at Hale Road and terminating 1 mile at the Stonewall meeting Old Mountain Road. So there's two roads there. So it was changed in 87.
Right, so in 1987, the names of the road, the road changed to two roads. And then in 1995, those two road names were referenced in the warrant article. So there are two different roads there. It's
one's
not
Class 5, one's
Class 6. And E911 needs to be notified that that's what needs to be changed to A1, because that's two roads, not one.
Well, remember that the Board of Selectmen actually names the road, so it is possible that following that there is a board vote, so you need to...
We'd have to go back.
If there was, we don't have the information then stating that it was changed.
There was a list that was produced of the new roads because, and there was a public hearing. My neighborhood had like, I don't know, 5 or 6 roads just changed. Like they literally wanted to change like Hermit Woods Road and Hermit Lake Road because it was so close in the name. But let's change the history of the town too. We're going to change the name and we'll change the history book. So there was a big old, there was a hearing here. And so we would have to go back to that. But if we voted at the town meeting in 1995, actually in 1987, and referred to those roads as those names, that's the name of those roads.
Right.
And we voted again in 1995, that's two votes of the voters voting on two roads, not one. So it was never changed. It was just because we never picked it up doesn't mean we aren't supposed to change it.
Public hearing we had is moot.
Thank you.
Well, we would need to do some research because it is very possible that a selectman's meeting the road name was changed following those votes.
Well, that would be something we'd need to find out.
To change it back to just Mountain Road?
Just Mountain Road.
What a disaster. Because in order for us to vote on the results of the public hearing, we would need to know what road we're voting on.
Yeah. But also, I think that town meeting has already addressed the issue of the road status. Mm-hmm. So we don't have the authority as a board to
override
change
that.
Anything.
Right.
Unless you go back to town meeting. So what we were talking about is that the portion of Wadley Road and New Mountain Road, which are currently Class 6 and open to the public, remains the same. We cannot make any changes. Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, this raises another question. If you go back through the history, in 1928, it was discontinued subject to gates and bars.
Right.
Okay.
Which so means Class 6.
That was, yeah, that was Old Mountain Road. Because then right after that, the new section was built from Hale Road. So,
And then
in 87, it was voted to discontinue subject to gates and bars. So they were both made Class 6 roads at different times. Mm-hmm. But they are both Class 6 roads. May have different names, but they're both Class 6 roads.
So would the board like to table to your next meeting?
Yeah.
I think we should, because I think
I'd have to take some reading on this.
Somebody should find out if there was ever something done to change the name.
I would like to find that it would be helpful to find the very first E911. And so that's 95, so I came in 6. So Katie, it would have been the early 2000s when I lived then. So it would have been like 2000, 2001, probably. E911 came here, and that's when that whole change took place, renaming streets to make sure, because it was 3-pound roads that didn't connect in town.
Mm-hmm. Actually, looked at it today. It was in February of 2008 when they changed the proposed changes, like Town Road was Thrushing Mill or a portion of it.
Yeah.
Was that the first one?
Was that the first one? So it would have started in 2004 or 2005, because we had moved there. It was right. It's maybe that's when the vote went through, but it started earlier than that, because they tried to change the name of my road. They approached
before 2008.
Yeah, yeah. I built my house in 2000.
Okay.
They knocked on my door before 2008. Trust me.
So I wasn't here for that then. So
because it was then my ex-husband who had it out with whomever was there from Concord, because it would change the whole history of the town, and I actually was on board with that.
So 2002.
Would have been about 2001, 2002, Katie, because I built my house in 2000. So it would have been, it was one disaster after another over there. So yeah, 1 or 2.
Okay. And the second one was in 2008.
Right, and then they went full bore in 2008. And then when Chief came on, he inherited that package in 2011 and then moved it forward, so. So then we have Truck 3 financing application.
So at your last meeting, you voted and signed the financing application for Truck 3. That lease purchase agreement was for the amount voted at town meeting, but the quotes that are actually provided that day, so we didn't have a lot of time to compare with financing is less than that amount. And subsequently, the interest rate changes. So you'll have to re-vote on this to enter into this lease purchase agreement, which is now dated August 19th. So we have time to get everything into them. And it's at a different interest rate because it's a lower amount. The interest rate is a little bit higher. The interest rate will now be, so the loan amount is for $152,604 instead of the $175 it was before. And the interest rate is now 5.04%.
Oh, no.
Versus?
It was maybe 0.75.
4.8?
It was high fours.
Right around 4.8 somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point. There you go.
So you'll need to vote to enter into this lease purchase agreement and to authorize any corresponding signatures so that if for some reason they required something else to be signed that wasn't signed tonight, you could still have a selectman come in and sign.
4.76 was the previous, according to the 5.3.
So we're going to...
Right there.
What's the amount again, Katie?
$152,604, and the interest rate is 5.04%.
So where is that? I want to reaffirm the vote from this meeting, and then... So this is to approve lease purchase quotes from Liberty International and HP Fairfield for Truck 3's chassis and equipment in the amount of $70,004. So we're reaffirming the vote from our meeting July 25th, 2018 for the financing application of Truck 3 in the amount of $153,604 at 5.04% for key government finance plus all other correspondence.
So it's the last motion there under 5.3.
Yeah.
I mean, it was to enter into the lease purchase agreement with key government finance. So there's two things here. The motion before that, to have Director Van Tassel sign the finance application, the interest rate is not, that's just the application to apply to finance with them. The interest rate isn't on that document. The interest rate is on the following document, the lease purchase.
So we want to, so this was voted, and to keep history going, we want to revise the vote, revise the motion in 5.3 of the July 25th, 2018 minutes for the Truck 3 financing application for Director Van Tassel to sign the finance application for key government finance as prepared and enter into all other lease purchase agreements with key government finance plus all of the correspondence. Do we want to list an amount? Do you see what I'm trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's voted on here, and we're going to vote on it again. So are we signing two contracts? Or are we
right, you want to specify that it's the same one.
We want to specify that we want to revise the vote. Or renew the vote, or...
What, April, do you remember if the interest rate was in the motion? Or could it just be stricken from the minutes? Because if it's in parentheses, if it wasn't actually in the motion, if it's just in parentheses informational, you could just cross it out in your draft minutes.
Yeah, you can take it out.
And that would solve that motion issue.
So, right,
I mean,
so...
The 4.76, if that was in the motion, then...
That could just
then
be...
Then we have to change it. If it wasn't in the motion, we could...
I don't think it was. I think I added it in there for informational purposes.
So
we're discussing it.
But I don't understand the amount up above there. It's only $70,004.
That is the
chassis and equipment.
So the chassis number wasn't included. Or I didn't have it.
So we should add that.
Should that have been $170,000?
Yeah, no, that's I have the quotes here. The because I believe the motion was for both the quotes. One, the equipment was $68,504 on top of that.
I'm sorry, 68
what? $68,504. That's only 138. What I'm trying to do is, so we have to re-sign the contracts or vote again to sign the contracts for Truck 3. But we did it at our last meeting. I want to make sure that we have the history to follow, so if they see it in here, we have to reaffirm the vote for the new amount in the contract. It's for less money than the warrant article, a higher interest rate, but it's the actual contract because what we got before was for the amount of the, in the warrant article.
You know what? The $70,004 is the equipment.
That's less money.
Is the equipment plus the add-on that Johnny wanted, and the chassis is $82,600.
All right, so 82.
600. And the 70,000 figures for the equipment.
So that's 152. Yeah. So that's 152,604. So you in our minutes for last meeting, all we'd have to do is add the $82,600 and change the interest rate.
Yeah. The interest rate can be stricken because it, that actually wasn't on that document anyway.
Okay, so if you calculate the 82.6 and the 70,004 that in are in the July 25th minutes, it comes to the 152,604. Mm-hmm. So we've already voted to authorize. We just want to reaffirm it because the, how do you want to do that?
Because I believe you voted on both figures in your motion.
Well, we did.
It just needs to be corrected. So the only thing that needs to be corrected with a motion is that the lease purchase agreement you voted to enter into was for a different amount of money and for a different interest rate. Well, so you could make a motion to...
So the paperwork said one thing and the vote actually, our voter intent was actually to sign for the 152,604. Because if you go, Katie, by the $70,004 and what you just told me was 82.6, mm-hmm. that is equivalent to 152,604. So this motion from July 25th stands. Just striking out the interest rate.
Right, because the thing is that that stands, but that was under the assumption of the 4.76 interest rate, and you have a higher interest rate now. So the amount...
So we already signed the paperwork that said 4.76.
And this one says 5.04.
Right, so the interest rate needs to stay in that motion. And we need to reaffirm the motion from July 25th, 2018, section 5.3, to sign the new paperwork reflecting the actual interest rate of 5.04%. That's it.
Perfect.
And any other correspondence for truck 3.
Second that motion.
Does that make sense, April?
Yep. So I'm just redoing that and reaffirming the
And leave the interest rate in the July 25th minutes. Add it to tonight's minutes, and we just signed the new contracts.
Yeah.
Right. But that was, we signed, and add the 82.6, April, for in the July 25th?
Yeah.
All right. Because we did that was for that amount. I think what happened was, I think if you look back, Katie, that it would have been in there written different with the lower interest rate, and then we signed it. But the actual intent of that was these two figures equal to 152.
Yeah. Makes sense. All right, so do you want to sign that during your authorization signatures?
Sure.
Okay.
What? Oh, sorry. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries. It's April. Very confusing. All right, do you have any other business?
Just quick announcements that the painting of the town offices will be starting next week. The week after that, they'll be working on another job, and then the week after that week, they'll start painting at the Old Town Hall. And I'm aware that they will be painting around the time of the candidates' night that was approved, but that can be coordinated.
I would like the board to consider a request of the painters that they stay out of the town business this time around.
I did speak with the vendor, and they said that it would be very easy to coordinate. They could maybe be working on the back side of the building during that time frame, or even just be working on the shutters separately at a different location.
All town business. Because last time we got a letter from the vendor about town business. So if they're here to work, they're working. And getting involved in town business or town politics or any of that stuff would be inappropriate.
Okay. And then finally, just a reminder that I'll be on vacation next week, and that the checks will need to be signed on Wednesday between 12 and 4 at your convenience.
We're meeting Wednesday?
No, nope. We have Wednesday off.
Next Wednesday off?
Yep.
I didn't know that. All right. Yeah. But we got to come in Wednesday.
To sign checks.
Afternoon.
Yeah.
Sign checks.
Yeah.
If I'm alive.
Stop.
No.
And that's all I have.
Enjoy your vacation, Katie.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be the next. Now I'm in the direct line of fire. I was looking to actually, I have all everyone's vacation days down. So we get the chief out 2 days. We get the police chief out 2 days here. He's overlapping the fire chief. And then she's gone. Julie's gone. And then we've got the police chief out 2 days at the same time. These guys are out. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going nowhere, nowhere, and nowhere. All right. Selectmen's reports.
I'm fine.
Nothing? I have nothing.
You have in your packet the minutes. They're marked draft. They are no longer draft. They were approved at the last meeting on the 6th. These are the minutes of the first SAU meeting. We on the 6th, we had another SAU meeting, and we received more information, and we started discussing the different styles of doing the formula between admin and evaluations of there's 70-30, there's 80-20, there's 75-25, and there's different, and so everybody that was there agreed that the formula that is in place right now is working very well, and it was sort of a consensus that, you know, we can look at it, but do we really need to change it, other than the fact that it's required by law that we look at it every 4 years. So, but there was some lively discussion, so you didn't have time to close your eyes. There was some lively discussion going on.
Thanks for taking that, raising your hand for that committee, John.
So there's really nothing. I mean, there's been no decision made. It's all been discussion, and we've been getting more information. And something that was surprised me was the median age of Samberton is higher than any other town. Mean age is 50 years.
So, tis it is.
But we have the highest evaluations, and our student population is declining. Mm-hmm. So I am pushing for, if we re-evaluate, to go with admin instead of evaluations, because that would bring our portion down instead of up. So.
No student population.
But I'm getting quite an education. I sit there most of the night with a puzzled look on my face because these people are batting around all this information.
See,
about.
Right. Well, because you didn't have any children in the school district, so
yeah,
it gets emotional there.
Most of the people that are there have done this before, and I haven't, so I'm sort of going.
And I had kids in the school district and paid for them to go someplace else while I had to pay for them here. It was fabulous.
Yeah, well,
I'm so glad you
I wanted to
job.
Push with them that anybody over 75 shouldn't be charged a school tax anyway.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Believe it or not, there was a very brief discussion along that subject.
Well, if you talk to
which went nowhere.
People like Evelyn, she'll tell you back in the day that they used to be able to, when they get out of Woodman Academy over here, they were able to tuition their kids out to wherever they wanted to, remember? Choose the high school, Franklin, at Laconia, Winnisquam, they were able to choose in Samberton.
That's one. The other one that I had was we had the joint meeting of the land boards last Thursday, and there was discussion on what we were going to be working on over the next year, and there were 4 points that came up. Unfortunately, I don't have my paperwork with me tonight, so I can't tell you what those 4 points were. But there was also discussion of the land boards working together more and keeping each other informed more of what was going on, which met with a very favorable response from all the members of the different land boards that were there. So, other than that, that's it for me.
And my pet peeve with that whole thing is the Conservation Commission is not a land use board. It is not they're invited to that meeting. It's good information for them, but they are not a land use board by statute. Anyways.
That's above my pay grade.
Mine as well. Authorization, signatures, and payroll and accounts payable register. Incoming.
Here, Tom, here are the approved minutes for you.
Okay. Those are
fancy
specs.
He always has the fanciest ones. He had pink ones last time.
Meeting is the 22nd.
In addition to the payroll,
week after next.
Yep. Correct. We're signing a check for $5,000 for Deb Plinge painting and decorating. We're also signing a check for DJ Wilson in the amount of $5,851.85. We're also signing a check for Winnisquam Regional School District, $830,000. I'm going to put this here, John, because there everything's come to. There you go.
And I get my Jeep back tomorrow. It will be beautiful again. Yeah, I backed into a tree down at the tavern and destroyed the rear quarter panel on the driver's side.
Nice work.
I thought it was.
Treasures and minerals.
Yeah, to the tune of $5,000 to repair.
Thanks. So, Chair North, this is for these documents. The green ones are ones that I sign as a witness. The red are.
Yep.
Signatures,
ordinarily. You want to sign that package?
Just the red tabs, not the green. If you want, you can take off the green ones.
Oh wait, is it just one signature? So
yeah, it's just it's two originals, so it has to be the same person.
Right, so I have to sign. So it's not you.
You're off the hook.
I get to spend the night here.
Go back in here, Kate.
Yes. Thank you.
This one?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think.
So you're working in this way? No.
You already signed that, right?
Vacation?
No. And my youngest granddaughter leaves in 2 days for Italy for a semester of foreign studies.
How old are you? I have 2 15-year-olds.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
2 15-year-olds?
And then after that, you have 2 signature items that require a vote.
What? Identical?
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
You got a picture?
Yeah, I'm a picture.
I don't know if you have identical twins. Katie and I are identical twins.
We are. Separated at birth. Well, absolutely.
More information I wanted to know.
Signature.
So you sign the red, I sign the green.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so name, title, and signature. I guess you're right.
Did you expect that when you had it?
No, I found out when I was 2 1/2 months pregnant.
A surprise?
That's a surprise.
It must be a handful.
That's Aiden. That's
a girl. Oh, they're girls. I thought they were boys. They don't look alike. Different poses, that's why.
Do you want to go on to the next?
Well, we just have 2 votes with 2 items. So the first is Underwood Engineers. You might recall those agreements were reviewed by our attorney and had some changes to give back to them. So we've kind of finalized the agreements between legal counsel and Underwood, and they're ready to be signed. They did prepare them, though, with my signature, or a spot for my signature. So you'd need to vote to authorize me to enter into the agreement with Underwood Engineers.
I make a motion that we authorize the town administrator, Katie Ambrose, to sign the document that enters us into an agreement with Underwood Engineering.
I'll second it. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries.
And then the last item is the governance response for the audit, which the audit will, the auditors will be here the week of the 27th. So it requires a signature of 1 selectman, but you'll want to look it over and vote to sign it, since it is from the board.
I have a question, Katie. Who is our assessor?
Cross Country Appraisal.
Okay. So we're still with Cross Country. We
yes.
haven't gone to Avatar.
Yeah, Jeff Earls is it right, correct. Avatar, we're purchasing their software, but we're getting our assessing services from Cross Country Appraisal.
Yeah, because that was one of the things at the SAU meeting. Everybody gets assessed at a different date. Different year. So some people you've got that are a fresh assessment and other people that are. So it would be nice to have everybody assessed at the same time and by the same company. So,
our school district crosses a county line, so it goes by different counties, too.
Yeah.
Welcome to Winnesquam.
There's a movie out right now about guys that discovered that they're triplets, like they didn't know each other. Looks really interesting.
There was a, do you guys watch that VR show, Code Black?
No, I heard it's good though.
There was actually a guy that went in for a surgery, and about 2 weeks later his brother showed up. The guy was there, the day that it happened, they were like, you have a brother? He's like, nope. They're like, yeah, you do.
Wow.
Yeah, so we ended up meeting in the hospital.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
If my little sister walked in the door right now, we're 6 years apart, you would have think we're identical twins.
Oh, sure.
I think I've showed you that picture.
I think you have, actually.
Because people always say to me up here, oh, good thing you're not a twin.
Did you write the responses to this?
Yeah. So you can
Very good.
Oh, thank you.
Very good.
else do we have? We have Tom Simon board meeting minutes, Underwood Engineers.
You just have the implicit transfers. I'd like you to have them all done at the same time, and some department heads are out of the office, as you know, so we'll probably have that for your next meeting. So we just have the audit that. Questionnaire that you'll need to vote on, and then one person signs.
For tabling the transfers?
Yes. Oh, and correspondence.
Is that one signature for that?
Yeah.
This one here?
Yeah. It's on the last page.
Yeah, but...
Do we need to vote on that? Oh, you want to look at that? You
yeah,
I read. I read through it, and it's excellent. Very good work, Katie.
Thank you.
Just my signature.
I think, do we need to vote on that?
Yeah, you need to vote on it.
We need to vote on it, but I wanted to give every, before I make a motion, I wanted to give everybody a chance to look at it.
So you vote and then you sign.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Why lie though?
That I'm running out of ink, that's what you should know.
Yeah, I read this. Today.
I'm still trying to figure out what is philosophical adaptation.
Oh, you should have asked that question to me.
I was trying to and she walked out.
It's correspondence, Tom.
There's one.
So bringing back memories of your days as the clerk.
Yeah, right. Flashbacks. Yeah. I think this one's all signed too, Katie. Did I just go through two of them? I didn't realize it. Speedy Gonzalez. If I'm missing any, just give me a jingle. So
we needed just one signature on that, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. So.
Good. I value my wrist.
PAS.
Fine, not too
That would have been earlier for with,
okay, we get that.
With the recreation coordinator.
Can I just take a look at this real quick and then you can sign it and we'll both sign it. So this is pretty much the same as last year.
Full of
new
additions
ones, yeah.
With a more further good, explanation,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Nothing major.
Okay, make a motion that we have the clerk sign the Bichon, Clucky and Company PC.
Governance questionnaire. Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries. Minutes of the meeting from July 25th.
Make a motion that we approve the Samberton Board of Selectmen minutes for July 25th, 2018, with any corrections.
I'll second that. Let's take a few questions. Let's see, what was my question? I need to do that. Okay, so under 3.2, I had a question for Katie. The way that it's worded for the treasurer Cobb informed the board, the conservation fund ended the year at $9,965.43, but a deposit was made on July 12th. So this fund, I would like the amount that was taken from the operating budget inserted in there, because that's how that
came to be. I'll grab that right now, I can tell you.
I April, end of 5.0 on the bottom of the page. That lady commented about the estimate amount that was spent on maintaining the road, and the Snowmobile Club has contributed some of the repairs, but they tear up the road and it's not fair. Can we list whether that was referring to the ATVs or the snowmobiles? I believe that was the ATVs rip it up.
Yes.
Because I don't want it to look like the Snowmobile Club is ripping it up and repairing it. Under 5.2, the Solid Waste Committee.
Yep.
About, let's see, so it says, Jen Hull explained, the Solid Waste Committee has three separate recommendations for the board because the solid waste market keeps increasing. The solid waste costs keep increasing, and C&D is being grossly undercharged. So that part wasn't the market, it was the cost of the solid waste.
Okay.
And then down further, charging C&D with average $111 per time, which helped inform their proposal. I don't know what my question was there. Option one, provided proposed price increase in states other towns are charging the C&D, which the average $111 per time, which helped inform their proposal. And then it goes, do you see where I'm saying in April in the middle where it says the option one? I don't understand what that means. With the average of $111 per time.
That spreadsheet in
right, which helped inform their proposal. So and then it's question mark, and then it's a comma. Furniture and those other types seems to be fine. Okay. So down further, where it says, Chairman stated a copy of the vote in the meeting minutes is needed for the operation manual so it can be at the transfer station for future reference if anything is adopted. And that was reaffirming that vote. And that's all I had. Any further? Oops.
Sorry, I was going to say, I don't have the exact amount because, as I mentioned here, she didn't have an update in the report.
Okay.
So maybe, April, would you mind emailing the treasurer and asking her for that to insert it into the minutes?
Yep, you guys wanted the balance.
Do you know what I'm talking about, April?
The amount that was transferred from the conservation
operating
budget to the fund. It's around $400.
Yeah, it's a paper trail that I would like to have because we stopped doing it. So it's the amount that lapses at the end of the year from the Conservation Commission's operating budget. It doesn't lapse to the general fund. It lapses to the conservation non-lapsing fund. We stopped doing it.
You sure?
Positive. Without a doubt in my mind, that's the way that was created and that's statute.
So not transferred from operating budget of Conservation Commission to Conservation Fund.
Conservation non-lapsing fund.
Is she going to be here tomorrow?
At the end of the year.
I believe so.
That's
yeah.
The procedure.
If not,
all right. Any other discussion?
Kay Cobb.
We need a vote.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries.